Hello and welcome to the latest installment of PSG Talking. I'm your host Ed, and on today's show we're looking back at PSG's defeat to Dortmund in the Champions League and look ahead how they can overcome the one goal deficit. Before we get started, let me remind you to subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts and leave a review if you listen on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to PSG Talk Extra Time over on Substack, and as always, visit psgtalk.com for all your Paris Saint-Germain news. All right, joining me on the show today, we have Ethan from PSG Fan Club Boise. Ethan, thanks for coming on again. How are things on your end?
Hey, thanks for having me on. And yeah, it's going well, other than that match. You know, it was pretty frustrating, and we'll get into all that. But other than that, it's good. In a week, I'll be in Europe, and I'll be at the park in just about 8 days. So pretty excited for that. But first, we have a semifinal to win, so...
Yeah. Just a little match coming up next week on Tuesday. We had you on before the match on Wednesday just to kind of previewing it. I totally got that one wrong. We're going to get into it. But yeah, so I'm glad to have you on. We can recap what happened, look ahead, and then you can prepare for your trip to Europe. And it's going to be a blast for you. So I'm excited for you. But we got to get into what happened last Wednesday. So just a very basic question, Ethan, just from the play from PSG, do you think the guys even knew that this was a semifinal of the Champions League? I mean, what was that we watched on Wednesday?
Yeah, the first 15 minutes, I could see us starting slow. I was like, yeah, it's all right. You know, they'll get into it. And, you know, it's a very hostile atmosphere. You know, Dortmund has a great stadium and great fan base and great crowd. But as the match went on, it just seemed like there was a little bit of a disconnect within the midfield, and I don't know if I could quite pinpoint what that was, what the issue was. And then technically, it seemed like we were really poor. The first touch was poor, weren't dribbling well, and the passing especially was not very strong. So it was it was weird. There were probably only two guys who I'd say had a great performance that day, and I would say if I did. Probably Marquinhos and Vitinha, what I would say were my best.
Vitinha definitely for me.
But other than that, everyone else was playing pretty lethargic. They were playing as if we were playing Le Havre at the last weekend. So
a little Le Havre hangover.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe Le Havre's the best team in Europe. No, but yeah, that's my initial thoughts. It was weird. But what did you take from that, especially from the beginning of the match?
I mean, I couldn't have been higher on the team going into this match. I thought on paper PSG are much better. They were the betting favorites. They've played this team several times this season, so they're familiar with them. I didn't see any reason why PSG should have been played off the pitch, or they should have been that distant of a second best in this match. I thought, of course, it could be a little tough, but I thought PSG's quality would eventually show through. And you, like you said, you just kind of looking at your watch. Okay, guys, this is a semifinal. Let's get it going. And they never switched into that gear that you see a team like Real Madrid, where they can shift into that gear, get the goals, and get the result that they need. PSG weren't able to do that. We've seen them struggle this season on the road, so maybe we shouldn't be too surprised. But again, you just look at the quality that PSG had, and I thought Luis Enrique's starting lineup, the French front three, Barcola, Mbappe, Dembele, love it. No issues there. I thought the midfield, we talked before, you thought maybe Ugarte, but I thought Fabian Ruiz. So again, I had no issue with the midfield. And then I thought defensively, that's about the best back line that PSG could even have out there. And of course, Donnarumma. So I had no issues with the starting lineup. So I really can't place this on the managers. It just like the players didn't execute. And sometimes that's what happens. The players just don't play well.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened for me as well. It's tactically, you know, we weren't bad. I mean, if you look at the, you know, I'm a numbers guy. On XG, it was basically dead even between the two teams. It probably should have been 2-2 if you look at the stats in that way. That's probably how the game should have ended. But yeah, it's just, like you said, nothing wrong with the starting lineup. I think we all knew that Fabian Ruiz was going to get the start there. But he had a pretty poor day in a lot of facets. His passing wasn't good, a couple defensive errors, not any crucial errors from what I remember, but it was just weird. I think a lot of people expected us to I think a lot of people maybe expected. Well, I'm not sure. I've actually seen it both ways. Some people were expecting us to just sit back and then try and hit Dortmund on the counter as if they're unaware of our speed of the front three. And then some people thought that we would just be in Dortmund's half the entire match and they would try and hit us on the counter. And it was more the second than the first. You know, we had 57% possession and a lot of the game was played in Dortmund's half, but between the two options, I think it was pretty clear that, you know, about 15 minutes in that, all right, Dortmund's just going to try and hit us on the counter for the most part. And they're just going to wait and for once we saw a German team implement a really good low block. I feel like, to my memory, I can't remember a lot of times that German clubs have done that super well. I know that they usually struggle more to beat a low block compared to other teams, but so it wasn't quite like the craziest thing imaginable. But still, yeah, it was just a weird. Yeah, we never got into a flow, like you said. Yeah, teams like, I mean, even the year that Chelsea won the Champions League a couple of years ago. We saw Christian Pulisic score in a Champions League semifinal in Madrid, and they just would not concede goals. And you're right, the year that Bayern won it, they were super clinical. You know, back in 2020 when they played us in the final, they were super clinical. I don't think they lost a game that year. We've seen Real Madrid and I tweeted right after the match that, and all these teams that I just mentioned, they all have this in common. It's when they get in these tough games, they're really clinical. Like you see very clinical finishing. And I think that's what separates, you know, champions from teams in the hall of very good. I don't know if you're familiar with that phrase, but, you know, it's just, that's what PSG is a lot of times. We're a very good team, but we're not a great team. And yesterday we just looked like a very good team. Whereas Dortmund, they were doing just about everything right. So,
Which is head scratching because this isn't a really good Dortmund team. I was looking at the table; they're in fifth place in the Bundesliga, behind Leipzig and Stuttgart. And I mean, I feel like they've had a somewhat easy road to get here in the Champions League. And I'm just, this isn't maybe the really top Dortmund size that we've seen in the past. And so, again, I'm like, we've got Kylian Mbappe, and I want to touch on him for a second because. Every stage that we've been, okay, here, Mbappe masterclass incoming. Here we go. He's gonna score the goals. Here we go. And hey, once again, he was kind of taken out of the game. I mean, what is that credit to Dortmund or is this Mbappe fatigue or what's going on with him? Because he's not scoring the important goals. He's not making the impact that PSG needs. He's getting double, triple teamed and understood. It's difficult, but. You're the best player in the world. You know, it's not like Messi wasn't getting double and triple team and he figured it out. So what do we make of it?
Yeah. That's a tough question. It could go a few ways, but I think the first thing that might have hurt, and I get that Luis Enrique probably wanted to have Barcola on the left to give a little bit of defensive support to Nuno Mendes, who was he up against? Was he up against Jadon Sancho on that side?
Yeah, he was up against Sancho who had... He had a great game.
Yeah. He had like 11 successful dribbles, which is one of the highest in a Champions League game ever, something like that. So I get that he wanted to do that, but and I get that, you know, the away goals doesn't exist anymore, so it's not a big deal that we didn't get an away goal. But if, I mean, just at a certain point in the game, you're thinking, I don't know. It's just because at this point, all the players have been saying it too. You know, it's halftime of this tie. It's halftime, and now we're about to play, you know, the second half at our home. So I get at a certain point, you're thinking, well, let's just see if we can get a goal, get a draw, but let's not go down two, you know, kind of a thing. But I'm still thinking Mbappe on the left could have offered, you know, more freedom. I mean, we know that he's not like a true nine the way that Erling Haaland or Gonzalo Ramos are or any guys like that. he likes to play a little bit wider, and that just left us without a true nine in the middle of the box for a couple of our good chances. And to try and compensate for that, we saw Fabian Ruiz, of all people, who's a central midfielder, sometimes even our holding midfielder, running into the box trying to get his head on some of these balls. And he did on a couple of them, but didn't score. And just kind of a weird – so it's a tough dilemma between do you put Mbappe on the left next match and start, Ramos or hopefully not Colomwani, but, someone other – do something different than what we just did. Or do you stick with – because, our expected goals was 1.7 on Wednesday. That's not bad. I think in the game that we knocked out Barcelona, I think our XG was around the same number. It's just we were clinical. We scored four goals off of the same amount of chances, essentially, whereas on Wednesday we scored none. So it's I don't know. It's a bit of a tough one, but Dortmund were really strong defensively, obviously, and it's just I don't know if we're gonna do something different. I don't know if Luis Enrique is going to decide that a lot of changes have. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens in the second leg. But
yeah, I wrote a piece over on our Substack piece. You talk extra time of things that I would do, and I think we've seen Mbappe centrally along, a little bit closer to Dembele. We've seen that work at times. Clearly against Dortmund, that's not working. So I like, let's push Mbappe into the Barcola role on the left wing. And then centrally, I think Gonzalo Ramos, he's just scoring at too high of a clip right now to leave him on the bench. We saw that header that he had, and so he provides that aerial threat. He's scoring goals. I would put him in there and just see what he can do, because clearly PSG need goals. So let's put him in there. I think he can be dangerous on set pieces. He gives PSG a little bit something different. And then maybe Mbappe would be a little bit more comfortable out there, and he and Nuno Mendes can sort of have those overlapping runs. So I think that's one major change that I would make. It seems like maybe you were leaning that way. Do you think we'll see it?
Yeah, I think we'll see it? Oof. Gosh, I don't know. It's just tough because, like you said, Gonzalo Ramos has not had a lot of minutes in the Champions League this year. I think he's played about 150 of a possible, 990 minutes. So it's a weird thing. But and originally when the match started and the lineups were out, I was like, all right, I like this lineup. You spoke on that earlier in this episode. We like the lineups, especially because Dortmund, they have tall center backs. Their center backs that were starting were, I think, both 6'4", something like that. But we clearly saw it at a certain point in the match with Ruiz getting his head on a couple crosses. And we're not a particularly strong crossing team. I mean, within the Champions League, our crossing accuracy is near the bottom. I looked it up yesterday. It's actually 27th of the 32 teams that were in the group stage. And a lot of teams above us were teams like Union Berlin and Antwerp who got grouped. So those teams can cross better than us. But what we've seen a couple times with Gonzalo Ramos this year is if you just loft up like a very, like a very average looking, like what you imagine when you think of a cross, the ball probably gets 10 feet in the air and then comes down. That's something that might not beat Dortmund's center backs, but what was beating their center backs on Wednesday were all these whipped in crosses. These crosses that were low, they were about head or chest height, and it was trying to put us in front of these defenders with really good timing. And that's exactly on both of Ruiz's headers. If we can replicate that, but with Gonzalo Ramos there instead of Fabian Ruiz, I promise you at least one of those goes in. So if Lucho thinks that he can replicate that at the park, then he could be onto something. The thing is that my one concern with that is, like I've said, we're not a great crossing team. Statistically, only Dembele and I believe Kangin Lee are guys that cross at any sort of frequent rate. And Kangin Lee is probably not starting.
Well, I had that in my piece as well. I mean, could you take Fabian Ruiz out if you want to go really attack-minded and move, you know, Kang and Lee there? It's an option.
Yeah.
You suffer defensively, but maybe it's the roll of the dice PSG needs.
Yeah, I think maybe as a sub later on in the second leg. But you got to think, we're just down one goal. And you know, I kind of felt the way that a lot of fans were right after the, you know, that day after the match, that, man, we just let a huge opportunity go, whereas some people couldn't be less fazed by this result. I mean, you look at Dortmund haven't lost any of their last 11 matches in the Champions League going back to three seasons, but their away record, they only have two or three wins in their last 11. So you have to think, you know, home field advantage is not a massive thing in a lot of sports, but you could argue, and I know, I think Mark Damon has said this, that he believes that football is probably the one sport where if you really want to take advantage of playing at home, then that's the one to do it. And so,
yeah,
I don't know. All things considered, we probably shouldn't be too worried, but it was hard to feel like we hadn't just kind of wasted an opportunity to – I mean, we could have won that game had we been as clinical as we were against Barcelona. Mm-hmm. And so it's just tough. We're making it a little tough on ourselves, but I'm not too worried. The thing is, if we score the first goal on Tuesday, mm-hmm. then I feel like everyone's going to feel as if we're going to advance, because it'll be tied on aggregate. We will have the crowd behind us. We'll have the momentum in that match. And the thing is, if we go down two goals, I mean, yeah, obviously the odds will be against us at that point. But you have to think, I mean, we did this against Barcelona with 50 minutes left in our season, basically. And we did it at Barcelona, and we scored four goals in about 53 minutes. So it's possible, even if we don't score the first goal. But you got to think, if we do, then we're going to be in a great spot. Random last little bit that I want to say on this is the Opta Analyst. That's one of those advanced analytics sites. They've been getting into a lot of football numbers lately. They said that even after, you know, using their supercomputer, however they do that, using their supercomputer, PSG had a 49.7% chance to advance. So they're basically saying it was 50-50. I mean, for Dortmund, they gave them 50.3%. They're basically saying the tie is still 50-50 if you use advanced analytics. And, of course, advanced analytics can be wrong. 90 minutes is not a massive sample size and you know, just takes one little slip-up or one little mistake to turn the whole tie on its head. But according to the numbers, I mean, if you look at everything, I mentioned Dortmund's home record in the UCL lately. You look at our home record in the UCL lately, and it looks like, for me, it's probably 65-35 in my head of us advancing. So not too worried yet. As long as we get that first goal, I feel like we'll be in a good spot. But I went on a little bit there, but I want to know.
You're dropping some knowledge. I liked all the advanced analytics. I just want to go back to something you said about Mark Damon and soccer, football, the home field advantage. I definitely would agree with that, and it really applies to a lot of like role players. You know, your superstars are your superstars. They're probably going to do well no matter where they are. But being at home, being comfortable, having that crowd support, it always seems to. We see it, you know, now especially in like the NBA playoffs. Some of these role players seem to always shoot a little bit better when they're at home, and I feel like there's probably something to be said about that with Dortmund and some of their role players maybe elevating their game. I would be shocked if Dortmund came into the Parc des Princes and had a similar performance. I think that is about as well as they've played all season. And I think PSG, you could argue that was the second worst performance all season, maybe the first being when they went to Newcastle, and that was just a train wreck. So I don't think PSG are going to be as bad, and I don't think Dortmund is going to be as good. Now, like you said, can PSG take their chances and score? I was just watching some of the highlights again, and you know, there was Dembele had a really good opportunity, Fabian Ruiz, and I think it was Mbappe had hit the post. PSG hit the post twice. So if they can just capitalize on those chances, I think we're going to be good. You talked a little bit about defensive efforts, and that's where I want to go next. My first part is who do you blame for Dortmund's first goal? It was a pass over the top. Dortmund were on their side of the pitch, just lobbed the ball over, and Niklas Füllkrug was just timed his run perfectly. Initially, I thought he was offside, and then I finally saw the replay, and he was like a finger length just staying on sides. It was really an incredible run and great touch. He was able to finish. It was Lucas Hernandez who was there trying to catch up to him, and I think that may have been when he tore his ACL. We'll talk about that in a second, but who do you blame for that defensive lapse there?
Yeah, you know, I can't remember the exact the highlight exactly, but my initial thought was that it was Lucas Hernandez that was on that. Marquinhos is at least – and it could have been Marquinhos. I could be wrong. I need to look back at it. But Marquinhos is a quicker center back than Lucas Hernandez.
Yeah.
And if Marquinhos really let Füllkrug slip by him, then I'd be pretty dang surprised. But it was just a case of I think PSG maybe thought that we were going to have relentless pressure and sit in Dortmund's half the entire match kind of a thing. Not as extreme as I think our mindset going into the Newcastle game away, you know, the 4-1 earlier in the year, but somewhat similar. And I feel like it just kind of put us off tactically. But from what I recall, I think Lucas Hernandez just the line was high. I mean, it was a great pass. I don't even know who had the assist for Dortmund. Do you know? Let's see. Who was it? It was.
Well, you look it up. I was just watching the replay. You probably could hear me clicking around, and I can't tell who it was that was kind of marking Füllkrug, but they cared more about raising their hand for offside, which is my ultimate pet peeve. Do you think like officials, you know, or referees are going to raise their flag because you raised your hand? I've never understood that. Put your hand down and guard the man, like stay with him, and then like. You see Füllkrug just run past the PSG defender, and the guy who got beat is just kind of jogging, raising his hand as if like he knows that the guy's offside. Is like, actually, he's not. It would be nice if you sprinted just like Lucas Hernandez did. I mean, it's just really poor effort.
Yeah, yeah. And random, the assist was from Nico Schlotterbeck, but I thought it was from someone else. But you know, I feel like you and I had a similar conversation about, or maybe it wasn't you and I, maybe it was you and someone else, but I remember you saying this on a PSG Talk podcast when we got eliminated by Real Madrid a couple years ago. And on that goal that, I think it was the false, you know, the fake. It wasn't – I still think it was probably a foul. But on Donnarumma from Karim Benzema, and I think it was on that goal you said the guys were just kind of putting their hand up thinking, hey, like where's the foul? And it's like, God. No, the ref hasn't blown the whistle yet. And we just kind of sat around, and no one was really watching. Everyone at that point was kind of ball watching, waiting for a whistle to blow. And then as soon as I don't even know who Benzema scored it. I don't even know who assisted him, but whoever assisted him, everyone was just staring at him, and he just dumps it off to Benzema, who got wide open again. It's like as soon as he won the ball off of Donnarumma or forced the error by Donnarumma, then everyone just kind of forgot he existed and stopped watching him. It's kind of the same thing. That's what your line right there just reminded me of.
Exactly. So. I'm watching. It looks like it's Fabian Ruiz, actually. He gets beat, and you see Marquinhos, his face, he's like grinning, and he's sprinting as fast as he can. Lucas Hernandez is running as fast as he can, and ultimately ends up tearing his ACL. And there's Fabian Ruiz, just, you know, I'm just going to run and raise my hand. Come on, listen to me. And it's just kind of like no effort whatsoever. It's like you just got beat. I know you're not a defender, but like, can you track back? Can you run? There's no one back there.
He's basically our holding midfielder, which means he's our essentially our third most important defender on the pitch at a lot of times. But I don't know if I've got anything else on that goal except that I think it's weird that Dortmund just played Route 1 football and beat us on that. But
like Newcastle did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I think it's also, I don't, we're probably going to talk about this a little more in the future, and we can dive into it now if you want. But Lucas Hernandez.
Yeah, let's get to him. We should just say the news that came out yesterday, torn ACL, out 6 to 7 months. It's on the other knee. So he had an ACL tear before joining PSG. And then now he's got the other knee is blown out. So he'll be out for 6 to 7 months. And let's just, before we get into what it means and all that, full credit to, I mean, he gave his all. I think he kept playing even though he had the torn ACL. You can't question his determination, his want to perform at a high level for PSG. So anyone who had questions, and maybe I was one of them at the beginning of the season, I thought, I don't know about this guy. He left it all out there for us, and he's been a fabulous player for PSG this season, and hopefully he has a speedy recovery. But take it from there. I mean, what does that injury mean for PSG?
Yeah, and you know, that, I'm glad that you said that. Yeah, he played for 4 or 5 more minutes on that ACL before he just kind of finally went down. And you know, like you said, he's torn the ACL on his other knee. He probably knew that he had torn it, or he at least, you know, was thinking this is somewhat similar to what happened at the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. But he kept playing for a few minutes. So yeah, I was in that same boat, you know, oh, he's from Marseille, and you know, people had supposedly had recordings or evidence of him being a Marseille fan, something like that. But no, he's maybe been our signing of the season, if you exclude the attack. So yeah, great effort from him. Love to see. Yeah, he proved me wrong this year, because I was with you. I didn't have a lot of high hopes.
Well, the goal came in the 36th-ish minute.
Yeah.
And he ended up being taken off in the 42nd. And when I watched the replay, I think that last-ditch effort trying to stop the goal is where the injury happened. You can sort of see his knee buckle. He goes down, and he holds his knee almost immediately. That's how he goes out, trying to stop – you know, a goal, not just running around or, I mean, he was the only person who gave a shit and tracked back and tried to stop the goal. Fabian Ruiz, he was raising his hand. It was Lucas Hernandez who was, he gave his all. And then you can only applaud it.
Yeah, you can. And what it means for the team is, I mean, at this point of the season, it was pretty clear our best center back pairing was going to be Marquinhos on the right, Lucas Hernandez on the left. And now it's, you know, Lucas Hernandez is out. If we end up making the Champions League final, then we're going to be doing it with essentially a backup center back. And we saw Beraldo got subbed on there. He didn't play really poorly. He had a couple bad passes, but he didn't do anything that you know, resulted in another goal.
I mean, just think about it. Hey, we're going to sign you in January. We know you've never played in the Champions League. You've never played European football before, but we need you to step in a semifinal and potentially a Champions League final.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that after the match. I was thinking, wow, it was the next day. As soon as we knew that Hernandez had, it was an ACL tear. I was thinking, wow, if we go to a Champions League final, then yeah, this dude was, you know, probably making, which of course this is not bad money, it's great money, but he's probably making what, 500 grand in Sao Paulo in December, and then now he's making probably 10 times that, lives in Paris, and it will probably start as the center back in a Champions League final if we make it. So
at the park, I mean, the atmosphere is going to be incredible.
Uh-huh.
And he gets to go out there. I mean, yeah, but we've seen him play well. We've also seen him have a little bit of dip in form here recently. We'll get to the preview, but if you look ahead, he has to be solid. He's got to be solid at the back.
Yeah, he does. Because I think even if we're on fire on Tuesday, you know, I think if we're later when we probably do match predictions, I highly doubt you or you or I are going to say that we're scoring 5 goals. So really, if we allow more than 1 goal in the match on Tuesday, then our odds of going through are pretty low. So, you know, 1 goal or a clean sheet, you know, allowing 1 goal or a clean sheet is probably manageable. That will likely send it to at least extra time. But 2 or more goals and we're probably out just statistically speaking. So, yeah, we're going to need him to be good, although we might get into – is it going to be Danilo or maybe Milan Skriniar? It's tough to say.
I'm not sure. But if you look at PSG's recent results, you know, at home against Real Sociedad, they scored two against Barcelona. They lost that one, but they did score two goals. Just trying to see where they have they been. Has PSG been blanked at home this season? I feel like it did happen. They beat AC Milan 3-0 at home.
If you're talking in the Champions League,
Champions League, yeah.
No, because let's think. Match day one, Dortmund, we scored twice.
Yep, 2-0.
Milan, we scored two or three. And then Newcastle, we scored one. Mm-hmm. That late one that's controversial that people are still talking about. We should have scored two in that game.
So I think it's safe to say PSG are going to score goals.
At least, I
think you could pencil them for one. So now we got a 1-1 game. They're going to score a goal. And then it's just, can they keep Dortmund quiet and score at least one more? Their record would tell us they're probably going to score two. They've scored two against teams better than Dortmund. It's just, can it all come together? There's going to be a lot of pressure. The fans are going to be there. I can't wait to see what the TIFO is, the supporters.
Oh, it's going to be great.
It's going to be great because, you know, you had the stat. What was it? How many years since PSG supporters have seen a semifinal Champions League, you know, in the stadium?
28 years.
Yeah, 28 years. We know what happened back in 2020. PSG were down a goal to Dortmund. They come back to the park with no fans and were able to beat them. So, history is on PSG's side. They know they can score goals. Hernandez is out, but he was never going to score goals. We've got Beraldo, who is a very good replacement. Not as good, but we've seen him play. Like he can do the job. I guess we can start to get into a little bit of the preview here. And we talked some about maybe Gonzalo Ramos coming in. But when you look at the starting lineup, what would you change? Either players or maybe tactically? What is the mindset you think Luis Enrique will have?
Man, it's tough. As far as whether we start Ruiz or Ugarte, that's something I'm wondering. I think we should probably stick with Ruiz because he's better on the ball at this point. You know, if we were trying to hold on to a lead, then I'd want Ugarte in. But which I wanted Ugarte in last time, on Wednesday, but it ended up being Ruiz, and I don't think Ruiz was responsible for that goal. But maybe he was, and if so, I wonder if Ugarte would have done differently. Who knows? Although he's not the fastest either. But as far as tactically, if it was up to me, you know, and obviously Luis Enrique knows ball a lot better than me. I've never managed football at any level other than Football Manager on my computer. But and he's won the treble. So he's going to know better than me, but I want Mbappe on the left. I want Ramos in the middle. Other than that, midfielders stay the same. The lineup staying the same.
I've seen some shouts for maybe like Dembele as a false nine, Mbappe on the left wing, and then on the right wing, maybe you bring King and Lee.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, I'm not a tactical wizard by any means, but I wonder if I don't know. It's just if Dortmund hit us with as good of a low block as we saw on Wednesday, then that could be great. I'm just sort of thinking that not that in the Real Madrid Bayern match, not that Vinicius was playing as a false nine. I don't think he was, but when he on the first goal that he scored, he dropped. I don't know if you're watching. He dropped pretty deep, and he kind of not forced, but he got Bayern's center back Kim Min-jae, the South Korean, to follow him, and then he just cuts right up field. Great through ball from Toni Kroos, and that's the kind of thing. If a false nine, if we really think that it's going to pull a center back at a position frequently, then it might not be a bad idea. I don't know if Dortmund are going to fall for it. I mean, Kobel's a good shot stopper, not statistically as good over the last couple of years as Donnarumma, but he was certainly better on Wednesday. But if they're going to allow us space in that zone right at the top of the box and just kind of say, hey, try and we'll give you this and try and beat us with outside the box shots. They might try that. And I don't think it'd be a great idea. I think we could definitely, if you give Mbappe 3 or 4 open shots, the outside of the box, you know, somewhat open shots, he'll probably score one. But yeah, it's tough to say. As far as tactics, man, I don't know what we got to do, but the way that however we can replicate those whipped crosses to Ruiz, I think would be great. Especially if we're going to have someone like Ramos there, he'll probably get his head on those. Or if we ever see sometimes, I mean, we know how bad we are on set pieces, but if we're going to go, and you remember that goal, and it wasn't just like a headed goal from a whipped in cross that got in front of the defense, but you remember that goal in the snow against Bayern a couple years ago, and it was Neymar with that insane pass to Marquinhos, of all people. Marquinhos was playing up top for a second. If Marquinhos is good in the air, and I don't know who the other center back will be, if it's Skriniar as well, then we'll actually have an aerial threat a bit, especially if Ramos plays. But if it's Beraldo or Danilo like I'd expect, then Marquinhos is really the only guy who will have, outside of maybe Ramos if he starts, that has an aerial presence. So every once in a while, if we're not fearing the threat of a counterattack, then Marquinhos with these weird runs in the box, we've seen it before. We've seen it on set pieces in the past. I think in our last semifinal that we won, because you know we played Man City in 2021 but lost. But the one against Leipzig, that one match semifinal in Portugal, pretty sure Marquinhos scored there. So, and he's been really, not that these quite translate, but he's been really on it defensively lately. I mean, he probably prevented a goal in, I believe, the second half of...
Yeah, it was a sliding block that he had. It was really, really good.
We've seen dozens of those slide tackles in the past that, for example, the second goal of the Real Madrid comeback against us a couple years ago, it was the same thing. Marquinhos was there, and he slid, and he went airborne with both legs. And unfortunately for him, he happened to leave just enough space between his legs for a football to fit between. And that's exactly where Karim Benzema's shot went. Even took a slight deflection and didn't change his trajectory, but it still went in. We've just seen so many slide tackles like that in the past where Marquinhos is there. There's no reason that this shouldn't get blocked or he shouldn't get a piece of this. And yet it squeezes right between his legs, or it takes a deflection and goes in. So, kind of off topic from, you know, aerial threat, but Marquinhos is, he's been just really, really solid defender lately. And I hope he can keep it up with these tackles of, you know, fortune going his way. And he's in the right spot, and he's not having these weird fluke or freak coincidence where he's making the tackle, but some deflection or the ball squeezes right between his legs kind of a thing. I hope he can keep that up, because that'll be big. Because if we're playing pretty free and open, we don't have the best defense in the world. I think we've had 3 clean sheets in the last 14 matches, something like that. We're winning most of our games this point of the season, like 3-1 or 4-1. So Dortmund are gonna have shots. They're gonna have chances on Tuesday, almost surely, unless they just don't show up. So, Marquinhos being on it, and then whoever that other center back is with him, they're going to have to be very, very good.
I'm with you. We said at the top of this that I love the starting lineup. So if Luis Enrique said, let's run it back with this, I think it would be, outside of Lucas Hernandez, obviously. But I don't have too many complaints. I just think some players had poor performance. Maybe they were intimidated. Who knows? Who knows what it was? But I think that there's no way that this team plays any worse than they did at home. So if they kept it the same, fine. I do like moving Mbappe to the left, put Gonzalo Ramos in there, because all he does is score goals. I like, you know, Beraldo for Hernandez in there. And then Fabian Ruiz is the one that you consider. You know, do you put him in there and say, look, everywhere Julian Brandt goes, you go, and you just stop him? Because he was sort of making all the plays for Dortmund, him and Jadon Sancho. And so you just say, kind of keep an eye on both of those and try to limit there. So I wouldn't be opposed to that, but again, if it's Fabian Ruiz, we've seen him have good performances as well in the Champions League. So it's going to be interesting. Like you said, Luis Enrique is one of the trouble, so who am I to tell him anything? I thought the lineup was really good. I think we're going to get a better performance. Will it be enough? We'll have to see. The one thing I will say is that I think Dortmund's going to be a little bit disappointed. When you consider how well that they played and how poor PSG were, to only have a one-goal lead to win 1-0 is probably not where they would expect to be. They're going to be a little bit nervous. They're going to be forced to come out, and maybe that plays into PSG's hands in that they can hit on the counter potentially, right? Because I don't think Dortmund can just sit in that low block for 90 minutes.
I was just going to mention the same thing.
Yeah, there's no way that they can do it. Go ahead, take it from there.
Yeah, there's no – I think they would be – if they come out and they park the bus as a Bundesliga team parking the bus from the beginning of the match, that would be really surprising. If they do that, as long as we limited their counterattacking possibilities, I mean, the thing is, Adeyemi and Sancho and Julian Brandt, they're all very good, but if they're going to commit all three of those guys plus Füllkrug forward on counters, then you have to think how low of a block is that really? Because then they've just got their – how low are the last six outfield players? So it's – Yeah, I don't see them just sitting in a low block the whole match. I mean, there's no way.
Do they really expect 35-year-old Mats Hummels to have the same kind of performance? I just don't think so. I mean, we can't understate this enough. I mean, this could be Mbappe's last Champions League match in a PSG shirt. He's not going to want to go out with a whimper. I think he's going to have his targets locked on Hummels, and he's going to terrorize them for 90 minutes. That's what I'm hoping. Mm-hmm. I just don't think there's any way that Hummels is going to have that level of a performance again.
That's fair. Yeah, and I had a post on Twitter a couple weeks ago, or I think it was last week, saying if you think about it, Mbappe is two or three Champions League masterclasses away from the Ballon d'Or and being a Champions League winner. And so, we didn't get one the other day. So if he's been better in the second leg in the second leg against Sociedad, he was better than the first leg. In the second leg against Barcelona, he was better than the first. You know, he had the penalty goal and the late goal that kind of just fell to him with a weird clearance from Barcelona, but outside of those, he was very, very good in that match. So you'd have to think that he's due for one. And I totally agree. I get that, the best player in the world sometimes, I mean, we've seen in the past, we've seen how Messi and Barcelona have kind of got blanked. We've seen, outside of Real Madrid, we saw how Ronaldo had kind of got shut down in the Champions League at times, but more often than not, when there were tight games and it was in the big moments, those dudes usually delivered. And if Mbappe wants to, I mean, he is the best player in the world, but if he's really trying to cement this legacy that he is top five or top 10 of all time, then it's a match like this one coming up where if he gets a two goal contributions, a goal and an assist, or however, whatever combo you want to do there, two goals or two assists. If he can get two goals, contribute to two goals, which I think is extremely doable for him on Tuesday, then all of a sudden we're probably going to be almost surely going to be just one match away from Champions League winners, probably treble or quadruple winners if you count the French Super Cup. And yeah, it's just, you got to think for Mbappe, the Euros are coming up. And it's not that the only thing he cares about is the Ballon d'Or. Clearly not. I'm sure that he would take winning the Champions League this year over winning the Ballon d'Or. Which I know those would sort of go hand in hand, but if they didn't, then he'd take winning the Champions League. But yeah, you got to think that he's due for one. Yeah, I agree. There's no way that he goes out with a whimper with this team. I mean, in the past, think Bayern eliminating us last year. Mm-hmm. We went out with a whimper in that one.
Yeah.
But the team was not good. Gaultier was losing the team by then already. We just the midfield was not good.
Vitinha was walking around.
Vitinha had not figured out yet. Like at least two of our three attackers were walking around. I remember at one point Neymar got so frustrated. It was actually in the first leg at the Parc des Princes. Neymar got so frustrated at one point that he was sprinting around.
Yes. Trying to track. I remember that.
I remember I was in the stadium for that and watching that live. My buddy and I, we were like, is that Neymar doing that? We kind of laughed. Like, it's like, dude, we could tell. And we were on the far side of the stadium up in the nosebleeds. And we could tell from 100, 150 yards away. We were like, Neymar is really pissed right now. So you have to think, Mbappe, if we're losing at a certain point, Mbappe's got to do that same thing. Like, we're going to see him press. We're going to see him track. We're going to see a very pissed off man if it looks like we're getting knocked out later in the match. So that's just what I thought of. I think we're going to see Mbappe running around, and you know, his work rate is going to be like a madman if it's getting towards the closing stages and we're still on course to be eliminated.
And I think for that Ballon d'Or, we don't know what importance Mbappe places on that. I'm sure it's pretty high. He'd like to win it. He can't lose this game. We're not playing prime Barcelona. This isn't Real Madrid. This isn't Manchester City. Like, mm-hmm. You should be able to get this PSG team with a really good midfielder in Vitinha. You've got Dembele. You've got some good players around you. You don't have to do it all yourself, but you got to get to the final. And I think if he could just get PSG to the final, which no one expected, if you win it, then I think he's in the lead for the Ballon d'Or. Even if he loses it, depending on what he does at the Euros, I still think he could win it.
Yeah.
But if he goes out with a whimper again, I think he can kiss that one goodbye, because I think Vinicius and Jude Bellingham, and there's some probably other names I'm forgetting that are probably, you know, doing a lot more for their team right now. So the pressure's on for Mbappe right now, but it's not an insurmountable mountain to climb. It's one goal. And I think for me, tactically, you get an early goal, then you start putting some doubt into Dortmund. Then you get the crowd really excited. So if PSG can get a goal, I'm going to say in the first 10-15 minutes, if that happens, I think then PSG supporters can breathe a sigh of relief, and I think things are going to go PSG's way.
Yeah,
you have to get an early goal, because then I think then you're going to start drawing Dortmund out a little bit more. You're going to stretch them out, and then I think you can use PSG's speed. And I thought that, like, a lot of the, you know, passing wasn't as crisp, but I thought the touches, there was a moment Barcola just leapt in the air and was able to control the ball. Vitinha, I thought, was really sharp. So I think PSG can play the quick 1-2s and be really sharp and beat this Dortmund side. But they can just get an early goal with everything else for the rest of the game, I think is going to be a little bit easier. So give me a prediction, Ethan. What do you think? What's the scoreline? Does PSG get to the Champions League final?
Yeah, I think they do. I think it's going to be 3-1 on Tuesday. I think we get the first goal. Maybe we get the second after. I think we'd even get the second after that. And then, we might get – I could really see us getting three straight and going up 3-1 on aggregate, and then maybe Dortmund pulling back. But I think 3-1 is what I'm going to go with. Yeah.
Wow, usually I'm the optimistic one. I'm going to go with a familiar scoreline, 2-0. I think 2-0 gets it done. We had it early against Dortmund in the group stage, so why not again? 2-0.
Nice.
We'll go with an Mbappe brace, why not? And so I think we both think PSG can advance. So if you're listening to this and you felt like maybe it was all doom and gloom, just know this. We both think that PSG can advance, and you would hope over two legs that PSG's quality will eventually shine through. You would hope Luis Enrique would have seen what happened, and he would go back to the drawing board and figure some things out, because I do think he's a better manager than Terzic, who is a little bit like a Jurgen Klopp there on the sideline. He was kind of rubbing me the wrong way. I don't know how you felt, that just the overhead clapping, the jumping, and everything's like, calm down. Just you know what I mean? He's kind of getting, they kept showing him. I was like, can you please just sit down?
I wasn't watching him at all. No, I didn't really recognize it.
Maybe he was just a Jurgen Klopp-ing it up. Yeah. And I just, that's not my style. I don't like that as in a manager.
Okay.
I'm more of an Ancelotti. Just sit there in your suit. You've already done the hard work. Let your guys, you know, go out and do what you constructed, you know.
Just raise a single eyebrow whenever you need a comeback.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. All this jumping around and flailing your arms. It's silly to me. That's so funny. He was doing his thing on the sideline, but hopefully at the park we can silence Dortmund and their traveling supporters and the manager. They can all just sit down and PSG can celebrate. And it'll be quite the celebration. It'll be something to look forward to. We'll see. So I guess, you know, just looking at Dortmund here, they actually do have a match tomorrow. We're recording this on Friday. They've got a match on Saturday at home against Augsburg. So if you're – and PSG have no game. So if you're looking for some football to watch this weekend, I would tune into that. Ethan, it's going to be early for us, 7:30 a.m. our time. But it might be interesting to see, you know, what the manager goes with there in terms of players and, you know, keep an eye if anyone picks up a knock or anything like that.
Yeah.
Hopefully not. But, yeah, something to keep your eye on for this weekend.
I bet they sit everyone. If you look at the Bundesliga table, with the new system for the Champions League next year, there'll be 36 teams, not 32.
And they've qualified, right?
They essentially just did because with the coefficients, the one-year coefficient that they're using to see which two countries are going to get a fifth team next year, with their win, I think they only needed a draw even. This is going to happen anyway, even if they had lost to us. But Germany officially clinched the fifth spot. So their fifth place will be in the Champions League next year. And right now they're in fifth, and the difference from fifth to sixth is
they've got a healthy lead,
12 points.
Yeah,
so it's insurmountable. They're locked in at fifth. They have just qualified for the Champions League, I believe, and so they have no reason to risk guys against Augsburg. I think it'll be all backups for them. And you know what? I wish we had had a game as well, maybe to. And I know a lot of people were thinking, oh, Liga is trying to help the French clubs by rescheduling these games. I don't think it really made a difference. And I kind of wish that we had a game, especially because we've won the league. There's no point. Just put out all backups out there. Maybe get some match fitness for a lot of guys. Like if we're losing late in the game on Tuesday and we just had Kangin Lee go 90 minutes a couple of days before, then, you know, he could probably put in a solid 25-minute shift if he needed to. He should be a bit more match sharp.
Same with Gonzalo Ramos. Like, this is a guy who's in form. He's scoring goals. Put him out there and, you know, let him see the ball hit the backs of the net.
Yeah, I wish we had that match against Nice rescheduled. But unfortunately, it was. It probably won't end up changing too much. But I don't know. I guess we'll see. But yeah, I know. So I mentioned at the beginning, I'll be at the park on May 12th, so the game next Saturday, so in 8 days. And if we win this on Tuesday, then it's going to be a big party. We're going to lift the Liga trophy. We're going to be seeing them in their last home match before they play in the Champions League final. And, of course, we have two away games in Liga before then, but we'll probably just rest guys, take it easy, especially because the Coupe de France final on the 25th or 26th, that's what we're really that's our next big step after this Dortmund match. But
it feels good to be playing meaningful football games in early May. It's great.
Yeah, I was thinking that the other day. Yeah, it is nice. And man, I really think PSG can do it. I mean, if I had to watch the Barcelona second leg. I had to watch both legs actually on flights when I was getting married in Arizona. It just the days, the cheapest flights happened to work out to where I was in the air exactly at the same time that both the matches were going on. It was nice, you know, easy way to watch the flight. It's like I take off, I start watching the game. Game ends and I land 5 minutes later. But when I was watching that on the second leg on the flight, at two goals down, I was thinking, like, dang, I think it's over. And we dug, I mean, with 53 minutes left in our season, down two goals in Barcelona, of course it's not Camp Nou, but at that stadium, at the Olympic Stadium they're playing at, it's no slouch of an atmosphere. We came back from that.
And they had a red card, but again, not every team that goes down a man just gives up four goals, you know? And
yeah, and you know, I think a lot of people have been putting too much of, oh, like without the red card. But it's like, but yeah, the red card, that'd be like saying, well, if you guys like didn't score this goal, it's like, but yeah, we did. It's
right. Like, the reason it was a red card is because it was a goal scoring opportunity.
It's not like, yeah, it's not like the red card wasn't earned. It's not, you don't just luck into red cards for the most part. Barcola cooked
that. Unless you're Real Madrid, then you do luck into red cards on other,
yeah. and you certainly don't get red cards called on you. What's that stat where Casemiro basically never got called for red in his career?
No. Even, you know, Vinicius putting his hands on people's throats, like never. No, they will never get a red card, I'm convinced.
I don't remember too much of what happened in that, but I don't – no, you're right. I remember. That was
– it was earlier this Champions League
round season. Round of 16 against Leipzig. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people do not like Vinicius Jr. I like him a lot, but even for me liking him, yeah, that should have been a red. But, regarding that red card, it's not like we didn't earn it. So, of course, we can't expect to be playing 10-man Dortmund for a lot of the match, but but we probably won't go down multiple goals. So I guess, you know, there's the difference there. And then we're in a much more favorable spot going into Tuesday than we were going at Barcelona last month. So
I would be shocked if Dortmund came to the park and they scored early. Even at 2-0, if they score early, it's still not insurmountable. But I would just be shocked. I just think they're going to, like, settle into the game. And that's when PSG needs to take advantage. So you got 3-1. I've got 2-0. Both results would see PSG get to the final. We'll see what happens on Wednesday between Bayern and Real Madrid. They're locked at 2-2. And I think the match is at the Bernabeu, if I'm not mistaken.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Are they going to close the roof so they can get more noise? Has that come up? Did he get approval?
I'm sure they will.
So stupid.
That game, and I don't watch a lot of the Champions League outside PSG until the semifinals. So in the past years when we got knocked out, I'm just like, quarterfinals, whatever. I'm still upset that we're not in the quarterfinals, so I haven't typically watched them. And then the semifinals I always watch because it's like, all right, one of these four are going to win it, and it seems like we're really in the thick of, like, you got to be a very, very good team, really on form to be at this stage. And that was brutal that Kim Min-jae basically conceded both goals for Bayern. If they had a different center back in there, a quicker center back, Bayern really could have won that first leg 2-0.
He was linked with PSG in the summer, and I remember people really wanted him. I would have liked – I mean, I think he came from Napoli. He's a really good defender, but not after that performance. Kind of glad he's not.
Bayern center backs have struggled this year. Upamecano lately. Man, I don't watch a lot of Bayern, so if there's any Bundesliga fans listening to this, don't take too much stock in this if I'm just way off. But has Eric Dier been their best center back lately? And they just signed him in January, I think. I don't know.
Oof.
But yeah, weird stuff from them. So I don't see them going through after that center back disaster class at their home stadium. But yeah, I guess if I had to put a prediction on that other one, I'm gonna go like 2-0 or 3-1 for Real Madrid. I think they'll be in the final.
Yeah, I think they'll make the final, and then it'd be amazing if PSG makes it. Mbappe up against Real Madrid. It seems like we've been a slow kind of train, just chugging along to this point, and that would be something. I've said it before. I think it'd probably be one of the highest rated Champions League finals. It would feel like a World Cup kind of build up to it. Everybody would be talking about it. But we got to get the job done first. PSG. Yeah. We'll host Dortmund at the park. We're, like you said before, we're thrilled that PSG are playing meaningful football matches in early May. There's a big one coming up, PSG Dortmund on Tuesday, May 7th. We'll have – I'll try to do an X Spaces afterwards just to kind of – people can let their feelings out or we can celebrate. We don't know what we're going to be doing, but we'll try to do a lot more after that match and hopefully have Ethan back on. Ethan, thanks so much for joining. Appreciate it. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks.